The problem that the board and any board will have is to grapple with a law that is 130 years old. Now, it was done in the days when we were governed by the white conservative United Kingdom secretaries that operated in Barbados. And it was brought about the issue of wandering because many young girls and boys lived and worked on plantations, and many young girls were subjected to circumstances that were very unfortunate. Many of them were forced to have children, and the record shows that many of them had 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 children because the plantation owners wanted more slaves. Let us be realistic. This is a law that is 130 years old and is offensive, very offensive. Now,
Reverend Tudor, I want to suggest to you, though, that this particular matter goes beyond that, you know. It takes us into the realm of how the people who are administering the law are actually implementing it. And to what extent do they have any discretion when it comes to putting a child in solitary confinement for that, for instance? When it comes to this whole question of dealing with a child that may be particularly difficult, what are the processes? How is this being done? And I want to ask you, having sat as chairman of this advisory board, do you accept that the time may well be nigh, or may even be now, for us to review whether you need something more than an advisory board to actually get things done and to monitor what is going on?
You know, David, you have hit the nail on the head immediately. An advisory board that was told from day one, and many boards before me, because I read the minutes of the last five boards, and the last five boards were consistent in what this last board had to go through. The principal and the management at the school called the deputy and myself on the day before we took up office, on the day we were appointed. So we went to have a meeting. And he was quite candid, and he said, listen, let me explain our position very clearly. We operate on an act that we will not report to you or the deputy or your board. We report to the permanent secretary as indicated in the bill that we were going to be operating under. So I said, but that doesn't make sense. Because if we are an advisory board, clearly we must do reports and advise. I did not.
Do you advise the minister? I assume that. Your board advised the minister.
Right. So for me,
which means that you have no real authority over the staff in there.
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. And in fact, when we made submissions of great research as a board, headed by Marsha Hines, who headed the committee, our views and our interpretation that we need to stop this kind of behavior in the old act. And we have to modernize the presentation to the and advise the government that it is time to change the legislation now for the first time in 130 years and make it more palatable so that the students who are caught, well, yes, you can use the term wandering. And the point I was making earlier about wandering is that a lot of the girls ran away from the treatment that was meted out in the slavery days, and they brought this legislation to scare the black population of Barbados from trying to run away from the plantations.
And you know how it is. You know, I talk a lot about the symbolisms that people get involved in. You know, we need to take down this and do this and do the next. But these areas here, this is where you really need to pay attention to getting rid of colonial practices and stuff that ran against the majority of the people of this country. And
exactly.
That's the, this is why we should not let go of this. This is far more important than a lot of this symbolism that others want to prance up and down the place about. For you know, my question is, from where you sit, apart from this wandering law, what else do you believe needs to be changed to improve the plight of not only the children, but their parents as well?
Right. David, you touched on it in terms of understanding the protocols that have to be established in a modern context. You did touch on it because you have to understand that there are challenges in homes when there's a lack of money in a society. People's tempers, the behavior, it's frustrating. And I'm not here to say that all the children or even individuals in Barbados are perfect. We are not. We make mistakes. We get angry. We don't like to tolerate some of the policies that are implemented on us by our government. I remember having to vote for the 8% cut. I felt awful having to make a vote like that. But sometimes it becomes necessary, but definitely not to be brutal or to be inappropriate.
But I still want to hear some specifics from you on what you believe could be done to improve the situation.
You know, David, my personal understanding about the behavior is that it has to change. Let us be honest. There have been students that have not complied with proper behavior, and there are workers at the GIS that behave very inappropriately, very cruel and very inappropriately.
So what would you do?
From the time I assessed it, I realized right away that the practices and the behavior patterns, both sides, need to be addressed seriously. We have had the American ambassador going into the GIS and trying to do programs to introduce a kind of, you know, of approach, how you do things. We've had other organizations going in and trying to talk to the girls. And that helps. But we also have members of the staff that are very, very indifferent in how they handle.
So the first order of business would be to try to address the training of staff and trying new to process. Get them to come to a new approach and a new standard.
Yes, sir.
But how can this work now with respect to the fact that, as you pointed out, the staff at the GIS report to the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Home Affairs, I believe. That would be the Ministry of Home Affairs. Is there a need to review that? Do you think that can be changed? And if so, how? In a stronger position? How would you recommend?
Because the permanent secretary, from my experience being a former parliamentarian, is a lot of work. And it is not fair to have a permanent secretary being responsible technically for the management and the running of the school. And that is what prevails. Because and there's a board, and the board is completely out of it in terms of the running. So if a decision has to be made, it has to be made by the permanent secretary. But then there's the whole issue of costing. So if the cost to provide service to a student per year, the average cost is over $30,000 a year per child, per resident. It's expensive, very expensive. And then the board, under the report and the chairmanship on the board of Marcia Hines, who is the deputy, she did evaluations in terms of the nutritional values that the children benefit from. And certainly a lot of biscuits in the morning and biscuits in the evening with water is not appropriate. And we checked to find out about the nutritional standards and found out that they were absent. They were absent. And the nutritional officers who were based in St. Philip or wherever, the ones down north, they were not in compliance with what should happen relative to the cost of what it took to manage in 1 year.
All of these things you all reported to higher authorities over what period?
Almost every single meeting that we had, with no action and absolute ignorance.
Why did you stay so long then?
We stayed because we were doing a review and did a lot of research. I did research with in policies and juvenile units in about 15 to 16 countries. I went to Norway, Sweden, Spain, Japan, Canada, UK, South America, the Caribbean, and we in fact had a consultant from Jamaica who helped us over the last 2.5 years to prepare modernized legislation, which is technically delayed because of the COVID and all of that. But we spent the time doing a lot of preparation for what new bills should be implemented and to get rid of that 130-year-old conservative bill.
However,
a lot of research work behind the government.
It seems to me, though, that you all appeared silent on the whole question of how you were going to deal with the attitude of staff to the difficult children that existed within that organization. Because to me, the legislation is one thing, but you still have to come to terms with how people have been trained, how they see themselves and how they see others, how they see especially difficult children. If they're not properly trained, then they're going to react instinctively the same way that most people in the country tend to react to children or anything else that is not adhering to their particular instructions. So what plan was advanced for that?
Right. No, we constantly, at every meeting, try to introduce protocols or to beg the question, look, this is what needs to be done. I, for example, along with the deputy, had to visit the mental hospital on several occasions because I was not happy, or we were not happy, with the protocols that existed regarding how the parents were treated or how the individual child at that time was.
Was there any progress at any point?
No.
So what's the sense? You spent sitting on a board, spending all your time researching this and researching that. You're only advisory. You send your stuff up the road and nobody pays you any attention. And you sit down there all the time. That's how it comes across. You're just wasting your time.
Well, the reason why I am speaking is because I'm going to be very candid. The principal that was there for many, many years was very, very clear how he understood it. And we tried to have it corrected over the years without any respect from the principal.
The principal, in all fairness, was saying this is the law. There's nothing wrong with the principal saying that this is the law and this is the way that it is supposed to function according to law. Have to go and convince the government. The minister first, that there is a need to change this system because you are seeing it play out in such a way that it is harmful to the running of the institution. So if you can sit down there for 3 years and can't get any change and do all of this work, this is at the core of the problem. I mean, why sit it as an advisory body when nobody taking your advice? That's how it comes across. And therefore, I raise that in the context of change. In looking at this problem now, clearly, we have to confront that.
Yes, David. And that is what has happened. That's what I am. That is what gives me some degree of satisfaction as a former chairman. Because we have brought it to the attention of the public, and now it has to be addressed.
So... The person who put the neck on the block for this was the deputy chair. We only hearing from you now after she came out in public. When you say we, why do you take ownership of it?
From the very first meeting we had, I made a comment to the public that there needs to be a change of the guard. And I made it very clear about my position from the very first month that we took over. I did. So we appointed a committee which was headed by the deputy chair. And she led and did a magnificent job in research and presenting protocols that would have alleviated a lot of the chaos that existed between the staff and the residents and the parents.
Let me recognize this, huh? If you sit in the position of the principal or the former principal,
mm-hmm.
it is quite possible that he too could have been calling for changes, but couldn't get anything done. I mean,
No, he was not.
Well, you in your position, you can say categorically that he wasn't pushing for change. All right, but if you hear his side of the story, he may well tell me something else, because I have to recognize that, you know, in these circumstances, you can have diverging perspectives on how the thing is being done. But we got deep with where we are now, and this is where the effort by the minister to come forward and to say, well, these are the steps that we have taken so far, suggests that we really need to do more than this. It looks to me like what is being proposed is but a drop in the bucket. To change the board alone, when the board was almost ready for change anyhow, is not really telling us much, because and the board still will continue to function in this advisory position where a minister could accept or reject the recommendations and we can just continue with limited or no reform at all in the place. So it is to find a structure that is more conducive to bringing about meaningful change. That's what I hear from you and from what I've heard from others, right?
Absolutely correct. I'm not apologizing for remaining, because I believe that if you start a fight, you should continue fighting it and don't run away from it.
Well, it's an important fight. In these circumstances, somebody can get the axe, but at the end of the day, the question is, what are you fighting for? Is it worth it? You know, is this $150 for a meeting or something like that? Even if you got $1,000, $1,500, you still have to ask the question whether you're going to be able to sit down here and your conscience is going to be clear. If you cannot get real movement on something that you consider to be as vital as this, I can understand that.
You had a caller earlier today. And that motivated me to call, because the caller that was making a very solid point was, if you open your mouth and you tell the truth in this country, you're up to all kinds of ridicule. So you know what? A lot of what should be said is still not being said, because it has implications. And that is, and the caller was absolutely true. So I don't want to go on. I know I am very pleased with the new minister, who clearly is an individual who wants to make the change. And I know that he is going to do what he has to do. And I am going to support him in whatever he's doing to get the change effective. I'm not running away. I don't need to be on the board to support what needs to be done. Just like you, David, because you don't need to be on any board with the comments that you've made over the years to get things right in Barbados. So I am in the same kind of mode like you, to be honest.
Well,
so I will say adieu, but I will speak openly to any member of the press that wants to help us as Barbadians to get this right. Barbadians are tired of being misled and mistreated. They're tired. And this is not the time for them to stick around, to be pushed around, and that we have to just accept policies that are not favorable to us as a mass of people. We demand respect
One of the major points that emerges out of all of this is basically that we need a greater degree of sophistication in trying to deal with troubled people, troubled children in the country.
Yes, sir.
We have enough people who are trained in sociology, psychology.
Yes.
Great. All these counselors around the place. You got a probation department. You got all of this available to us. And you mean to tell me that we cannot come up with a program that appears far more responsive to this particular demand? I mean, surprising.
Exactly.
But Reverend Tudor, thank you very much for calling us and sharing your views on the matter.
Okay, boss.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks.